בכוח גדולת שמחה תתיר סרורה. אלף בית גימל יוד גטח צדי. The gematria of this phrase, of these letters, is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavati Nam, which means unconditional love, and the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, which connects to memories, but not memories in the traditional sense, memories in being able to see the patterns in our lives where we've been given the opportunities to choose the proper path, and we have failed to do so. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora. Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, Satan. Kra means to tear up. Satan is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. Those same six letters can be permutated, rearranged, to spell two other words, Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a hint to us, to remind us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which is the entry point for the negative system. Na gibor dor sheyehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The first three letters, Nun gimel dalet, has a part of gematria of 57. Which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. This is a sequence that connects us to sustenance. The last three letters, yud kaf shin, is a sequence that helps us to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes, through our choosing, making the wrong choice. Barchem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamlem. Betet resh tzadi taf gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach and its attribute of eternal victory and acknowledgement. Chasin kadosh b'rov tuvcha na'el adatach et kuf bet tet nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid geyeh Lamcha penei zokrei kedushatach. Yud gimel lamed hei zayin kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium, during this, our generation. Shavatenu kabel Ushmat siyakatenu yodea talumot shinkufav tzadi yuntav. This sequence The first two letters has a gematria of 400. 400 represents perfection and completion. The last four letters has a gematria like the first verse of 506 and connects us to unconditional love and to the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, dealing with memories and patterns. And we learn from this by identifying the patterns and changing them and injecting unconditional love in each step in the process. This is the path to completion. This is the path to perfection. The letters of the months, the Taf, that created the planet we call the moon, Levana, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab or the cancer. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'll say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. I'm reading from the Parasha of Matot. Matot means vows. I'm reading from the first section, the only section in Matot, verse number 3. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kononei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kononeihu. Tachatzi diamar Rabbi Elazar, kol ita bedina itkarya adiatama ta'amad rachame ditanya misidra de barnash atechivavra. Umisitra dihitta ate sumaka ta'ama itta mechivavra adif. Come and see, Rabbi Elazar said. Every woman is considered to be of judgment, since they are rooted in the left column. It is so until she tastes the taste of mercy, that is, marries a man, as a male is rooted in the right column, which is chesed and mercy. We learn that it is from the side of the man that white is produced, such as the bones of the fetus, for he is of mercy. From the side of the woman comes the red of the fetus, the red of flesh and sinew, which are of judgment. When a woman tastes of the white, that is, when she is married to a man, white is more predominant in her, though her root is the red. I can explain that in a lot of different ways. Essentially, colors have manifest in reality. There are two major colors in the world, in the physical world. One is white, which is mercy. One is red, which is judgment. The balance is when white mixes with red. That becomes green, blue, violet, purple. These are different levels of balance. But always the two colors are the main forces. Male and female are two halves of one soul. Female is the internal aspect, and that is the level of judgment. Male is the external aspect, and that is the aspect of mercy. our job in this world is balancing those two, unifying those two. That is why Hashem created one soul, male and female together, and then separated it, which is what the story of the Garden of Eden, where Adam was created initially with Chava together in unity, back to back, and then separated. And it's our job to learn how to bring unity between the two opposites, red and white, male and female. Are there any questions or comments? Did you have any experience with the Ana B'Koach this past week?
Yes.
I read it.
Yes.
Do you want to express it, or you just like to say yes and we'll move on?
Well, I didn't feel like I read it enough, because there has been some chaos, as I mentioned to you.
Yes.
And so what I'm going to religiously try to do is to read it every day to see if I can diminish that.
Are you using the meditations for the 3 weeks?
No.
That will also. It's the Ana B'Koach by itself during the 3 weeks is insufficient. You need to use the meditation. Do you know how to get to it?
Well, you sent it in an email, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you read it or that you can find it again. So
it's on your webpage, right?
It's on the webpage. If you go to yeshem.com, the first landing page, and on the right you'll see various links. One of those links says unique astrological events. If you click on that link, it's on the right side of every page. When you get to that page, if you scroll down, you'll get to the month of Tammuz, and you'll see a link that says the negative 3 weeks. And that will take you to the link where the meditations are. And when you say the Ana B'Koach right after that each day, during the 3 weeks, you do that meditation. And you'll find that it'll start to balance out.
Trying to find the site. Okay, he's got it.
Okay.
I take it you're going there now.
Yeah, he's trying to go there now.
Okay.
If you do that meditation.
He's on the page.
I'm sorry.
He's on the page and unique astrological times, is that where it goes? Where
yeah, unique astrological times or events. I always forget what I said, so.
Okay.
But that's the one. It's close. There's nothing else close to that.
So, we're just supposed to read this page here, like where it says Rosh Kadosh. Read this page. Oh, read this for every day. Oh, I see there's one reading for each day.
There's one for each month.
Oh, for each month. So how come it's got one for each day here?
Are you on the unique astrological events page? Which page
yes.
are you on? It says unique astrological events.
Meditations for the month of Elul.
Okay.
To assist the process.
That's Elul. We're not in Elul. We're in Tammuz. Elul is 2 months from now. Actually, it's a month and a week from now. So, you go back to the page, unique astrological events. Scroll down to where it says Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and right under that it says negative three week period.
Keep going.
There's Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Keep going.
Tammuz. There's Rosh Kadosh Tammuz right there. 3-week meditations. Okay, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it just to read this page, Ben? He wants us to read this page.
First, second, third meditation, explanations, fourth meditation.
There's five meditations, and you need to read through the page once the first time you do it, and then every day after that you just do the five meditations, which are towards the bottom of the page.
Okay, so we see how to do that.
Yes. Okay. So that will help. This is a very difficult period. It's the most negative period. As we said last week, it's the period where the Shekhinah, which is the female aspect of God, is not active, where the ozone layer is not active, whatever the metaphor we want to utilize. And it's very difficult. If you don't have the vessel, the energy is going to be overwhelming. And that's why you see the chaos in your own lives, but also the people around you. You can see it as well.
Yeah, we saw both the male and the female act very active.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a very difficult week.
Would you like to share it with me and to talk about it, or are you comfortable with where you are?
I just wanted to say that at work, I started a new job, and there was two very kind of explosive events where the boss, my first day of work, he almost fired somebody. And then on Friday, when I just luckily happened to be out of the office because I had an appointment, some angry customer called him, and he came out of his office and came out of his office shouting. So there was a lot of...
A lot of chaos. You know, a lot of chaos.
Yeah, a lot of chaos. Yeah. And I did read I did notice on about Wednesday that I needed to be... I remembered on Wednesday. I forgot Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I realized that I just could hear your voice in my head saying, you should just try it and see if it reduces the chaos. And I thought, my goodness, I'm having all this chaos, you know. So then I read it, and I read it every day after that.
And did you notice that it reduced it? Or obviously it did, because you missed it on Friday. It's not going to impact the people around you. They're going to have the chaos, but you don't have to go through that. You don't have to experience it.
Oh,
actually, there's more to the story.
That's actually really cool. I wasn't in the office when he yelled. I came back and I said to this other guy, I was laughing. I thought it was hilarious. I said I have really good luck. I just missed all the fireworks.
She's been taking Keturah oil, meditating with it, and now she has 40 milliliters of it. And so you're going to be active all the way beyond Rosh Kodesh into whatever holiday it is now. Good luck with that.
Well, Bob, are you still using the Keturah?
I just got another 100 milliliters from
Israel?
Yes.
Okay.
From Abraham. Sam.
And do you find that this is as powerful as the first group?
The first one?
Yeah.
You mean the first time, did he tone it down?
Yeah, well, you told me the second time he toned it down. You felt it was toned down.
I think that on different days of the week, I feel a different strength with it, and I shake it up every time I use it. So there's something else going on, and that is an innate sensitivity of a person using it on that day. And it also it's determined by your physical cleanliness. So if you go clean your body, if you get right with the Creator, and if you make your space clean, and you become very sensitive, and if your desire to connect is very high, the Creator will use it, you'll have a different experience every single time.
Understood.
So it meets you. It will meet you halfway. But I'll tell you what, if I was just telling my good friend here that it will turn you back into a teenager. all the drama, yeah. And it's good, though, because I'll tell you also, I know I am continuing my unfoldment. I'm still becoming more and more sensitive to energies. And now I had a batch of stones that I owned for more than a year. And before, I could not feel the different energies of the different stones. In fact, I wondered why I bought them. I bought them on good faith from a friend. And just recently, yesterday, this morning, too, Ankara and I were sensing them, and we could both feel different energies in each one of the stones. And this is interesting because these are extraordinary stones, and they're not made of different materials like quartz and yada yada. They're,
right.
They're actually ethereum. And in the mix is...
it's different. Each stone has a different mix.
In the sand. So it's ethereum sand and glass. And it's not a naturally occurring stone, I don't believe. But we could actually agree that there were different feelings. We felt different chakra energies with each one. So the reason I say that is I am still continuing to unfold, and I know that the Keftoret is part of that. How much of a part of it it is, I don't know. But Ankara and I are going on this road together. Because both can find the same sensitivities. So, you know, as we meet different people along our way, we have these different experiences, and our connectedness is one of them that Ankara and I are trying, and our sensitivities.
I suggest you listen to the class I gave this morning. I sent you the recording. I also suggest that before you apply it, that you say the prayer that's in that lesson.
Okay. That's the Keftoret prayer?
You have it in the booklet, so it's there for you. But it will help to balance what's happening. And it'll help elevate that unfoldment so that you can either put a picture to it rather than words, or to find the right words, whichever is appropriate for you.
Tonight, so I have all the material.
Go ahead.
I have all the material printed out for the class here.
Okay.
72 names of God and...
Well, we're starting with three verses from the Bible. The three verses are Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, 20, and 21. It is the only place in the Bible that you have three verses in a row, each with 72 letters. 72 is a significant number. It's a number that connects to the Sefer of Chokhmah, to wisdom. These, when you mix, I don't want to say mix, it's the wrong word. When you connect these three verses in the appropriate way, you create 72 names of God. And if you connect them in another way, you create 72 names that come from the Tzaddikim, from the righteousness. These 144 names And name is a code word for an attribute. An attribute of the Creator. So, one of the ways to understand an attribute, love is an attribute of the Creator. Hate is not an attribute of the Creator, it's an attribute of the vessel. Healing is an attribute of the Creator. Repentance is an attribute of the Creator. It is actually an attribute that the Creator has created for us, because He doesn't make mistakes, we do. We're the ones who need to do repentance. But each of these 144 names is an attribute, and each attribute is needed sometime in our life, sometimes every day. And as we discussed last week, and I said, never believe a word I say, but please try what I suggest. These 72 names, this chart, and I've had Bob print out three different charts, and I'll explain to you in a minute the basis of those three charts. But it's important to scan these 144 names every day as you say the Anabakoach, and then afterwards to scan the 144 names. There are other things that you could be saying, but I haven't taught you them. And it's the most important thing is to stay with the connection of these charts and of these attributes. Because as you scan these charts right to left, top to bottom, you are connecting to the totality of the energy that you could need that day. And from one day to the next, what your eyes stop at, what your eyes rest upon, how the scanning goes, all of that is an indication of what tools you need to have that day. Because your soul knows what's going to happen that day. It knows. Your higher self knows. And it knows what energy you need to balance it. So it's going to have your eyes stop where it needs to. And just go through the process of scanning right to left, top to bottom. In time, I will teach you how to pronounce the names. But at the initial time, we don't recommend that you say the names. And we don't recommend that you look at the specific name, because the energy of the name, you don't really know what you need. Maybe you think you're not feeling well and you're tired and so you need healing, but what you really need is a connection for Parnassa that day. Or maybe you're feeling stress over money and so Parnassa is what you think you need, but what you really need is healing. And I'm just using these as examples, but it's important to keep everything in totality, in unity. So please scan every day these two charts. I tell you to scan the purple charts because the purple represents the higher level of vibration.
This one, just a minute, this one is the same as this one in
Genesis. No, one will say that the 72 names of God, and the other will say the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. They're two different charts.
I pointed to two 72 names of God charts. We're looking at your webpage, and then we're comparing it to this one.
Okay.
So this 72 names of God is the same as this 72 names of God chart.
What's that up there?
And this is a different, and there are,
The one that has got seven letters in each box?
Yeah.
That's an example. If after you have been scanning for a few months, if you want, you feel that you need more, you have a stronger desire, what I will do is take your name and put it into Hebrew letters, and then we'll intermix those Hebrew letters with your name. And what that is doing is literally taking the attribute and injecting it into your soul, strengthening its connection to your soul. And that same thing applies to the book of Adam, which is the other one of the charts I had you print out.
But until you or I, either one of us, go to that next level, Hanok, this really fits with what I said about the color stones before. Ankara and I have the ability to feel we're growing together. We feel these energies in our etheric fields, our auric fields, right?
Yes.
Of the stones, and as I scan these, and I suspect as you do too, I feel a different energy with the different characters as it goes through. They just, like, I get highlights in my auric field. They move around. I feel it in my cranium. And if I did this every day, I would become more and more familiar with those energies. And then after that ran out of gas, I'm thinking that I would go have Hanok make me one of these charts with my name in it. But he's actually already done that for me. But the thing is, I never really got that sensitive to where the more detailed Bob chart, bright shining light chart, felt any different than this one. It just was more characters I could, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's good. I have a question though. I'm confused about the 144.
72 times 2?
Yeah, I'm confused about that.
What's the meaning of it? What's the significance of it? What's the confusion? Where's the confusion?
Why are there two sets of 72? Where's the two sets of 72?
Good question. Why 144? Isn't 72 enough?
But why are there two sets of 72? What are the two sets? I didn't catch the two sets.
There's one a left and a right aspect of each?
No, it's not left or right. It's called direct and returning. It's called mercy and judgment. So it's two different frames.
You previously defined that as left and right, so mercy and judgment.
It's just different terms in Kabbalah that they have very significant meaning in the Tree of Life.
So the balance, the 72, is it a combination of both the left and the right? Or is the 72 the right column?
The 72 names of God is the right column. It's a frame of the right column. Now, within that overall frame of the right column, you have 6 times 12. Now, the 12 is 4 times 3. The 3 represents the 3 columns. The 4 represents the 4 worlds. That's why there's 12 tribes in Israel. The 6 represents Zeron Pin, which has 6 Sephirot. So what you've described is within the 72 total names, one of those names is going to be Yesod of Zeron Pin of Chesed. Another is going to be Chesed of Zeron Pin of Chesed. And so forth. But that's just making it too confusing for this initial explanation.
Right.
So suffice it to say that the 72, it takes 72 to be complete. just as it takes 12 tribes to be complete, just as it takes 12 astrological signs to be complete, just as it takes 7 continents to be complete, just as it takes 7 colors in the rainbow to be complete. These are different frames of reference, 7 notes in music, different frames of reference, different ways of understanding it. But to be complete, this particular has 72 names connected to mercy, right column, direct light, and 72 names connected to judgment, to left column. You'll find that some of the names are the same, but they're not the same because they're in a different frame of reference. But the most important aspect, I need to explain this story of how these names are used and were used from the Bible. These 3 verses are describing the Jewish nation, the children of Israel, standing at the edge of the Red Sea. And I'm going to assume you have no background, so forgive me if it's boring. But it's easier to assume it than to think you might know something and then I leave it out. The story is that the children of Israel have left Egypt. They've traveled in the desert 3 days, which is what they told Pharaoh they would do to serve God. They were going to the desert for 3 days to serve God. And they didn't stop. They continued on the 4th day. Pharaoh had sent a spy, saw that they were continuing, went back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh hitches up his 600 chariots and he travels after them and he catches up to them on the 7th day. Just at sundown on the 7th day. And they are right at the edge of the Yam Suf. The Hebrew term used in the Bible is Yam Suf. The translation of that is Red Sea. Then somebody comes along and says, wait a second, Suf doesn't mean red. So maybe it's the Reed Sea. And so you're hearing in modern translations, they're calling it the Reed Sea. And the truth is, both translations are corrupt. Yam Suf, Yam, the word Yam means sea. Everybody's in agreement to that. The word Suf, just as I spoke to you last week about the En Sof, Suf and Sof have the same letters. It's the same sound. It's the same word. En Sof means endless. Suf, the Yam Suf, is the sea of end, the endless sea. What does endless mean? No limitations. They left Egypt, which is the country of Mitzrayim. In Hebrew, the shorish for Mitzrayim is Metzar, which means limitation, narrowness. Egypt is a narrow physical location. That's the energy of Egypt. That's the energy of slavery. That's the energy of the soul being in the body. It's limited by the body. What this whole story is about is removing the limitations and breaking free. On the 7th day, the children of Israel are standing on the edge of the sea, Am Suf, on the edge of this sea of end. And behind them is Pharaoh, ready to kill them or to take them back into slavery, to keep them combined. On their right and on their left are wild animals that will tear them to pieces if they go that way. What do they do? What do you do when you are faced with an obstacle and you don't really know what to do? You see this obstacle in front of you, whether it's an ocean or a rock or a relationship or a problem. What do you do?
Pray.
You pray. You cry out to God, correct?
Right.
That's exactly what the nation did. They cried to God. And I want you to listen very closely to God's answer. God says to Moses, Matitzach alai, why are you crying to me? You have the tools. Move forward. Go into the sea. There are times when you don't need to pray because you have the tools. You just have to start to move. You have to take that first step. And what happened? Only one man out of 600,000 heard the lesson. He heard the words that Moses said. God said, move forward into the sea. And he started to walk. And he walked till the water was at his knees. Nothing happened. So he walked out a little further, and the water rose to his waist. Nothing happened. He walked out further. He kept walking, and now the water's at his armpits, and still nothing happens. No splitting of the sea. Because when you think about splitting of end, end is a word for death. End is a word for limitation. When you split the sea of end, all the light of the Creator is available to you. But you're the one who has to do the action. And this man whose name was Nachshon ben Aminadav, he was the leader of the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes. He was the only one going into the ocean, into the sea. And he continued to walk forward until it was at his mouth. And still, nothing happened. He took one more step, and it rose to his nostrils, where he would have been totally under the water. And it was at that instant that the sea split. The lesson for us is to have certainty. We can live in a world where we can say, I want to see it happen, then I'll believe it. Or we can choose to know that it will happen and then wait to see it happen. But you must first have certainty that what you want will happen. That is the only way you can create a miracle in your life. You have to know it will happen first. Yes, you have to have the merit for it to happen. You can't be abusing people and then expect a miracle to happen for you. But if you are doing things righteously and you lack the certainty that this will happen, It will not happen. God forbid. But if you're doing things righteously, and you know that this will happen, you'll see miracle after miracle happen in your life. And the tools that make those miracles, they're the 72 names of God. They're the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. These are the tools to control the physical world. The Ana B'Koach and these 72 names. This is how you control our physical world. These names are really kind of unique and special. You've heard of the Hare Krishna sect? One of the names is Hari. There's no coincidence to that. As you go through these names, you'll find them to be very significant, spiritually power names. But they're not one or two or three. There's 72 of them. We teach the Kabbalah as a metaphor. We teach that if you're building a house, you hire a contractor and you hire an architect and he draws plans. And you give the plans for plumbing to the plumbing contractors. And you give the plans for the electricity to the electrical contractor. And you give the plans to the landscape contractors. And you give the drywall plans to the drywall contractors. Each of the specialties takes their own part of the system. But only the Kabbalah has the general plans, the general contractor. He has to have all of the plans. And that's why there's 72 of these names times two. There's actually seven ways for these 72 letters of these three verses. Seven different ways for them to be mixed. But our sages have only told us about two. And so we only teach these two. What about the other five? Perhaps they're negative. Perhaps they're not to be utilized yet. Whatever the reason is, we don't utilize it. We don't play with it. Because this is really atomic energy. It's not atomic energy that is destructive because these names are positive. It cannot hurt. But if I take a 220-volt air conditioner and plug it into a 110 wall socket, I'm going to blow up the air conditioner because it's the wrong vessel for the energy. You have to have a vessel that will handle this energy. And that's why I'm saying I'm not going to give you your name yet. That's why I'm saying it has to be done every day, because this is building your vessel to be able to handle this energy. You need to have the certainty that it will work first. If you're expecting it to work, you'll see it. If you believe it will work, to the extent that you have doubts, you're going to limit its working. But
there's a...
Go ahead, Bob.
This is a great moment to address an often asked question, and that is, how many times should I pray for a particular event? Not a general. I'm not talking about a general event like the health and well-being of the living beings of the earth. That's something we want to express every day. But if we're praying for one particular thing for one individual person, the level of certainty that we have. And I used to say, when I was only a Christian, I used to say we should pray expectantly.
But pray, now, say it again, pray what?
We should pray expectantly.
Okay.
And we should pray it and then get it off our list and go find another one to put on our list, because there's so many things we need to be praying about. But you say we should pray with 100% level of certainty. Another person would say we should pray expectantly. And when we pray with 100% certainty or expectantly, then we pray something and we release it to the Creator, to the universe, and we manifest it. And we walk away and we look for something else that's broken that we need to be praying for. And so, I mean, I hear that question so many times. It keeps coming up. How many times should we pray for something?
Moshe prayed 514 times that he be allowed to come into the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. And God said to him at the end of the 514th time, no more. Stop praying. And the sages learn from this that if you pray 515 times, the universal law says it must manifest then, at that moment. The universal law says everything that you pray for manifests in your life. There's a guarantee, there's a warranty. When you pray for something, it will happen. It just isn't sure as it's going to be in this lifetime or the next lifetime. Is it going to be this week or next year or 10 years? But it will happen. Everything that you pray for with certainty and with the expectation that it happens now will happen. But when you pray expectantly, you're putting it off to the future. Because your consciousness is saying, I expect this to happen, but you're leaving it up to the universe when that's going to be. You should be saying, I expect this prayer to be answered now. Your consciousness must be complete, and it starts with certainty, and it starts with being in the now, using the Buddhist expression. Live in the now. Expect it to happen now.
So, my friend and teacher, Anok, you and I,
as an example, and I'm going to put you both on the spot, and it's a rhetorical question because I don't mean to put you on the spot. Bob, when are you getting married?
As soon as possible.
No, you're getting married now. As soon as possible says it's not going to happen now. Consciousness, you're putting it off. That is the male tendency. I hope I'm not creating problems. But it's a very real teaching, spiritual law. Pray for it to happen now. And know that you only have to pray once, and it will happen, providing you have the vessel to hold it. There's a billion dollars on your table right now, sitting in front of you. Do you see it? It was there, but it left. Why? I prayed for it. It's there. My words manifest. But you don't believe it, because you're expecting it. I have to see it to believe it, instead of to know that it's there, then I'll see it. This is a consciousness of certainty That is very important to make any of these things work. The way the system works is God gives you a taste. The taste you had, and you're going to have a few more days and weeks and months of taste. You had the taste. I forgot to say the Anabakoach. I started to say it. Wow. I didn't have to experience the chaos on Friday. I wasn't there. So I'm lucky? No. You were given a gift, a miracle, a taste of what the Anabakoach can do in your life. But you have to start doing the work. You'll see the taste, you'll experience the taste, and then it stops. This is the way the spiritual system works. It stops so that you do the work.
Can I give an example of the prayer?
Sure.
Okay. So I worked at HP for 33 years.
And you're not old enough to have been there 33 years.
And I survived 7 layoffs. And then the 8th layoff...
Why did you cause so many layoffs?
They laid me off, right? So the 8th one got me. And my husband wasn't working. I was married at the time. My husband wasn't working. He hadn't been working for over a year and a half. He had a very poor history of being able to hold down a job. And so I was, you know, once the severance package ran out, I was probably going to lose my house if one of us or both of us did not get a job soon. So it was a pretty serious situation. So what I did was I went to my altar every night and every morning, actually. I did twice a day. And I prayed, and the way I did it was I called to the angels and my guides and my medicine helpers and all of that, and I said, Great Spirit, please. I said, I know, how did I say it exactly? It's been a while since I've said it now. Thank you. This is how I said it. Thank you for providing me with the abundance that I need to keep my sacred land so that I can provide this land for, I can share my land with other people and make it the giveaway. And thank you for all the abundance coming into my life now.
You have to probably say what the giveaway is.
And so I did that twice a day, every day, for about 5 months, and I miraculously got a job. And I say miraculously because the particular company I got the job with didn't have a job posted. There was nothing on their website that said anything about there being a job opening. I didn't know this company. I didn't know anybody at this company. It was all this synchronicity. I happened to sit by this guy who heard my story and gave me a recommendation. It was just like, and I didn't even believe when he did that. I thought, yeah, right. I really didn't think. And it took me 3 weeks to realize, maybe I should follow his advice and contact his company. And so I think that was an example of what you're talking about.
It's absolutely an exact example of what I'm talking about. I would make differences. I would make recommended changes in the way you verbalized it that would have sped up the process. But, you know, the universe works this way. Knowing the rules of the universe is how things happen. You also have to realize it's always relative. It may be that sacred ground that you had no longer had sparks for you because you had elevated them. And therefore, it was time for you to move on. So in that case, losing it was part of the process. Losing it was part of the lesson of letting go of the material things. As a woman, your home is very dear to you. And that may be, as part of growing to that next level, you may have needed to learn to let go of that, or may not. So I know some of my students have to have that experience, others not. But the point is, if you say the prayer properly, it will always manifest. The question is when. It's going to be in God's time, not your time. And when you learn the patience of God's time, it doesn't matter, because you'll have the certainty that Hashem will take care of you. I have many students right now, Bli Anara, who have these issues of finances and jobs and how to and are worried about money and the bills for next month. The question is, why are you worried about next month? Is there food on the table today? Yes. Is there a roof over your head today? Yes. Why are you worried about a roof tomorrow? Has there ever been a day where Hashem didn't take care of you?
Not me. Not for me. There's always been a day, all the days I've been taken care of, even in my wildest dreams.
Every person is taken care of every day. That's the promise in Psalms. So somebody's going to point to me and say, but we have homeless people. And I say, yes, we have homeless people, because they're not learning the lesson of how to receive what Hashem wants to give them. But there is for them the home, the shelter, the food to take care of them if they just learn how to receive it. And that's what Kabbalah means, to receive. And that's what we teach, how to receive it.
Getting back to our what we're here to learn, I'm still a little bit unclear about the 72 names of God.
Okay.
Could you go to the first one, Vav-e-Vav?
Okay.
And we call that, and everyone does, I think, that I've seen every reference, they call it time travel.
Right.
And my friend Ankara asked a question about the 144 names of God. And so, and we know that, and you said that the 144 is kind of looking at both the left-hand column and the right-hand column at the same time with the same aspects.
Correct.
And something like that.
They're not the same, aspects, but they're aspects. There's 72 aspects of the right column and 72 aspects of the left column.
Right. Now, the way that we wrote this is like asking a philosopher about positive and negative logic, right, or something like that. I'm asking you the first one, the first name of God in the 72 names, time travel. What would be the corresponding left, that is the right-handed, the mercy view, right? It's the positive
right.
aspect of it. What would be the left-handed, the judgmental name?
Vav, three vavs.
And what would you translate that into?
Balance. Another translation would be life, because the gematria of three vavs is 18, which is the word for life.